I'm preaching on tithes and offerings again today. According to my records, I haven't preached on tithes and offerings in 6 years. And I don't know why, except the Lord hasn't spoken unto me to do it until now. But if we're going to be blessed in 2025, we need to have these scriptures, I believe, in our hearts and minds. It's not just enough to have the promises of God in your head. It's got to go from here to here if you're going to receive it. Some people hear us with a positive confession and they think, well, all I got to do is say it. It's got to come out of the abundance of your heart. Can you say amen? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And not only do you need to obey the word of God, but the promises that go with it, you must stand in faith and believe them. I've had the Lord tell me a time too, you're not being blessed because you're not believing me. You're not believing my word. And sometimes we need to have a refresher. Most of the people in this church are tithers and big givers. You raised $135,000 for these lights in just a few weeks. And so thank God. And I might ask God, well, why do I need to preach on this? But I think the main thing is you need to get these promises in your spirit. And then you need to understand tithing. Most preachers just say tithe. They don't give you any explanation. And I feel like God has called me to explain to people why we do what we do. The Word of God even says that we are to give a reason for what we believe. You tithe and you give. Why? So that's part of the purpose of these sermons on tithes and offerings. God's plan to finance the New Testament church is the same plan He used to finance the Old Testament temple and the Old Testament ministry, which is tithes and offerings. I need to answer a few more questions and dive a little deeper. I'll be touching on some things you probably never heard before unless you heard me say it a few years ago. But first of all, we need to do a short review. As we have seen, tithes and offerings is in the New Testament. These are, I think, some of the most interesting sermons that I preach. There's some interesting things here you probably will never hear another preacher preach on. According to my records that I just said, I haven't preached on this in a very long time, but I feel like God has said now's the time, and I tend to believe He's getting us ready to be blessed in the new year. 1 Corinthians 9:13. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? You see, the ministers in the temple receive their income from tithes and offerings. Not only the priests, but those who made the sacrifices, those who took care of the building, those who did the craftsmen that caused the temple to be so beautiful and keep it beautiful. All of those who did the work in the temple, and those who did the sacrifices, those who did the singing and the music, and those who were the priest, all of those and more received their blessings, their benefits, their salary, so to speak, from tithes and offerings. Verse 14, it says, in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. What way? Tithes and offerings. Notice Paul says, the Lord has commanded that we do it the same way. You say, well, that's not in the gospels. I haven't seen it in the gospels either, but I know that Jesus Christ taught and preached and did a lot of miraculous things that's not recorded in the Gospels. And so Paul says, he said it, and they, of course, he knew hundreds of people that knew Jesus Christ and heard Him teach, and he says, the Lord has commanded. You see, this is not recorded in the Gospels, but neither is Acts 20:35, and Paul, this is Paul again. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So they had heard Him teach this, and He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, this is not recorded in the Gospels either, but we quote it all the time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And we say that, but a lot of times we don't have a clue to what it means. It means it's more blessed to give than to receive because God blesses the giver. Jesus himself said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, fresh down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosoms. So here is what we know that Jesus really did say about tithes. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, you tithe on the herbs. You take the herbs and you lay them out, you count 10, and you give the 10th one to God. He says you're very careful with this tithing. And sometimes we can fall into that trap ourselves. We're doing the giving, but we're not really living right. And that was the case here. Jesus, and don't get into condemnation, but if there's something the Lord convicts you of, make it right with God. Matthew 23, 23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Jesus said you should have kept justice, mercy, and faithfulness without neglecting tithing. That's exactly what he said, exactly what he meant. He said, do not neglect paying your tithe or giving your tithes. Jesus places the approval on tithing, places his approval on tithing right here and right now. And according to Paul, he actually commanded that we finance the New Testament gospel the same way they financed the Old Covenant temple and ministry. God has always used tithes and offerings to finance his work. Now let's look at some things that a lot of people just don't know and don't understand. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 19, and he, Melchizedek, blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, Abraham, we'll see that more clearly in just a few minutes, and he, Abraham, gave him tithe of all. So Melchizedek was God's priest, and Abraham tithed to him because he was God's priest. You see, Abraham tithed to God's priest about 500 years before the law was even given. This priest was not a Levite, but God has always financed his priest through tithes and offerings. And tithing, people say, well, tithing, this is what I wanted to make clear, tithing came with the old covenant. No, it didn't. It was in place long before, 500, 600, whatever years before the old covenant was even given. That's the way God has always financed his ministry, tithes and offerings. If you have a better plan, let me know what it is. So I said last week, we could charge a big fee for everybody to get in here, but it'd have to be pretty big to pay for all the utility bills and all the expenses we have and the salaries. And so the fair way is just let everybody give a percentage. Amen. Is that not fair? How many think God's fair? Three people. One more time. How many think God's fair? And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Abraham tithed to God's priest about 500 years before the law was even given. Tithing came before the law. And Genesis 28, verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, so that I come, verse 21, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, verse 22, here it is, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob is pledging to tithe to God about 400 or 500 years before the law was even given. Tithing is God's way of paying his bills. This is God's plan. God has always used tithes and offerings to finance his ministry, and that's still the way he does it. Look at this. How many know that Hebrews is in the New Testament? You know that? Okay, flip your Bible open and look there somewhere toward the end. You'll see Hebrews. It's in the New Testament. Listen to what this author says, the author of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. This Melchizedek, this same priest I was just talking about. And so I read the first passage from Genesis 14:19, and here the author of Hebrews brings up this priest and has some very excellent things to say. This Melchizedek, this is what I like to do. I like to study the Word of God and present things that you probably never have even heard of before. Now, you may have heard this because you've heard me preach before, but I don't think you've heard me preach it in the last 6 years. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. That's the same thing I just read from Genesis, verse 2. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. This guy just spells it out. Abraham gave him 10% of everything. That's back to Genesis 14:19. Verse 4, just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now, how do we know that Abraham recognized Melchizedek as a minister of God? He tithed to him. That's what they did. They tithe to the men and those who serve God. Abraham felt obligated to tithe to God's minister because tithe went to the priests. Verse 5 it says, now the law requires the descendants of Levi. Listen, this is so important. Now get everything else out of your mind. Pay attention to this because this is really interesting and it's good for us to know. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people. So before the Levi priesthood came about, the priest of God received tithes. And when the old covenant was given, God put the tithing into the old covenant. Even though it was before the old covenant, now he includes it in the old covenant. Now, the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people. Before the law, God's priest, Melchizedek, who was not a Levite, received the tithe. Amen. Got that? After the law was given, God required that the priest receive a tithe. That's how it got into the old covenant. Verse 6. Now listen, this is where it gets super interesting. This man, Melchizedek, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. So even though he was not of the tribe of Levi, he was anointed of God as a priest to receive a tithe from the people. God had priests, ministers before and after the old covenant. Melchizedek was before the old covenant, and Jesus was after the old covenant. Listen, neither of these men were Jewish Levites. Melchizedek was not the tribe of Levi. He was born and lived and ministered before Levi years, hundreds of years before Levi was even born. And then Jesus Christ is serving now as our high priest, and he was of the tribe of Judah. Verse 8, in the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, by Melchizedek, other priests before the old covenant, and even the Levite priest, by men who die. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. Y'all listening? Are you sure? Okay. But in the other case, by him, Jesus, who is declared to be living. Jesus, our eternal high priest, collects tithes. When you drop a tithe in the offering, that is giving to Jesus Christ because this is his ministry. Amen. That's what this says. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus, our eternal high priest, collects tithes. When I give a tithe, I'm giving it to Jesus Christ and to his work. And in my heart and mind, that's my intent because this is his work. If we're serving God and doing God's will, this is his work. And when I give my tithe, I'm not just flushing it down the toilet. I'm just throwing it out the window. I'm giving it to Christ, Jesus Christ. Listen, of everything he's done for us, should we not at least honor him with a tenth of our income? We wouldn't be able to do anything without his strength, his ability. So I'm just smart. Well, where'd you get your smarts from? God created you that way. You owe him everything. And it all belongs to him anyway. And so 10% is a small thing. And then he promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great you'll not be able to receive it. And then I think this is even more important. So I rebuke the devourer so it can't get your stuff. Destroy your stuff. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. And I just want you to see this and know I didn't make this up. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. But in the other case, by him, Jesus, who is declared to be living. Jesus, an eternal high priest, collects tithes. Let me know he is your high priest. He's the only one you got. I'm not a priest. Okay. I'm a God called gospel preacher. He's the priest. I represent him. We are tithing to Jesus today. Verse 17, for it is declared you, Jesus, are a high, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You, Jesus, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean? Melchizedek was not of the Levites. Jesus not of the Levites. But both of them were ordained of God to be priests. Jesus is now our current high priest. And when we give, we're given to him. Psalm 110, verse 4. For it is declared, you, Jesus, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, why? Because they both were not from the tribe of Levi. What does this mean? It means Jesus is not a Levite. He's of the tribe of Judah, but God has ordained him to be our high priest, just like he ordained Melchizedek to be priest before the law was given. Now that the old covenant has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, he's now our high priest. Our tithe goes to him. This is really the word of God. This is what he says, what it means. So Melchizedek is a type of the living Christ who collects tithes. Now, Jesus is the real living high priest who collects tithes. The living priest who is collecting the tithe is Jesus Christ. Before the old covenant, Melchizedek and other priests received the tithes. Under the old covenant, the Levites received the tithes. And now, under the new covenant, our high priest is Jesus Christ. Our priest is Jesus Christ. Under the new covenant, Jesus receives the tithe for his ministry, for his work. There's no other way for him to pay his bills right here at this location without people tithing and giving according to the will and the purpose and the word of God. When we tithe, we're literally tithing to the work of Jesus Christ. And don't tell me he's not going to bless that. You know he will. Tithes and offerings were often received separately in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 26, verse 20. Of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated gifts. Now, this is a building fund. They not only received the tithes and offerings for the Levites, and that money was put in the storerooms in the temple, they also had separate offerings just to take care of the building. So Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated gifts, the building fund. Verse 26, Shelemoth and his brethren were over all the treasuries of the dedicated gifts, which King David and the others had dedicated. Verse 27, from spoil won in battles, they dedicated gifts to maintain the house of the Lord. So they gave special gifts to take care of God's house and to build the temple and to maintain it. That's what we've been doing here, raising. God told us to raise $40,000 a year to take care of this building, to restore it. And we have raised a lot of money, and the place is starting to look a lot better. And feel a lot better because the heat and air is working. It got to where it was going out at one time because of our units. All our units were going bad. Verse 28, also all that Samuel, Saul, Abner, and Joab had dedicated had dedicated, and whatever anyone else had dedicated. So people were just giving to this building fund. So there was a treasury for dedicated gifts to build and maintain the temple. The widow, now this is very interesting. I remember the widow that gave all she had, and Jesus bragged on her. Guess what? She was given to the building fund. It wasn't tithes. A lot of people just assume, well, she was giving her tithe. No, the tithe went into the storerooms. This was a treasure. At one point, it was a big chest. I don't know exactly what they had in Jesus' day, but they would drop these building fund offerings into the chest. It didn't get anywhere near the tithe. It was totally separate. Tithes and offerings. So when we've given our tithe, we got more to give if we want to be blessed. The widow that Jesus complimented was giving to this treasury. Luke chapter 21, verse 1. Is any of this interesting? Can we just hurry up so you can go home? To me, this is really exciting. Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts, not tithes, into the treasury. The tithe went in the storerooms. This wasn't tithe. Verse 2, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins, mites. In verse 3, and he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live. He said, these other guys have a lot of money, and what they're giving in the treasury is nothing compared to her, because she gave everything she had to help the building fund. Her tithe had already gone into the storehouse. This was not their first fruits. This was dedicated gifts from their surplus. This widow lady wasn't giving a tithe. She was giving everything she had. When you tithe, you didn't give everything you had. You gave 10%. Now, why did Jesus let her do it? He saw she was giving away everything she had. He let her do it. Sometimes the church gets criticized, not necessarily this one, but churches in general, because they receive money from poor people. Well, God wants us to receive that money because that's his way of blessing them. Jesus knew that was all she had, and he let her give it. Why? Because he knew the Father would bless her and reward her for giving. Because Jesus Christ is the one that preached, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shed together and running over, shall men give into your bosoms with the same measure you meet withal, shall be measured to you again. That's what Jesus said. And that's why he let her give everything. Now, God's financial blessings are conditional upon tithes and offerings. Now let's look at Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. In other words, you're never satisfied. No matter how hard you work, you're never happy. You're never fulfilled. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Does it feel like every time you get some money, it just evaporates? Now, that can be because you're not tithing and giving, and it can be also because you're not believing God to keep his word. You just don't believe in your heart and soul that it's God's will for you to be blessed. And so he's not blessing you because Jesus said, according to your faith. You got to start believing that God wants to bless you. And these last couple of points, you got to get it, because the real key to this thing is coming up. You see, God says, think about what you're doing. You're working harder and producing less. And when you do earn money, it's like your pockets have holes and your money quickly gone. Let's start obeying God with our money and then believe he's going to keep his word. That he will rebuke the devourer. And what he's saying is here, you know, the devourer's getting everything you make. Verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here you go. Give careful thought to your ways. Think about what you're doing. Now, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, or build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. The Lord wants us to have a beautiful place so he can be proud of it. That's why he spoke to me and the board, and many of you, if not all of you, that we are to raise $40,000 a year to fix this place up, because he wants to be proud of his house. Because while that doesn't matter, it matters to God. He just said so. You know, people just make up all kind of stuff, but what does God say? That's why he got me here. I don't go by what everybody else thinks, everybody else's opinion. I spend hours in his Bible, discerning this from the Word of God. God says, build my house and do my work first. When we give, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things be added to you. Where do you hear that from? Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, but God's kingdom first, but God's house first, put God's ministry first, put God's stuff first, and then he'll add everything else you need to live life and live godly. I finally got an amen. It's worth gold. When we give to his house and his work first, he will take care of our house and our work. This is not about the tithe, but about providing material to build God's house. They weren't going up in the mountains and collected tithe. They were actually working to build the house. Now, what happened? The temple had been burned, destroyed. And when the Jews came back, they began to build their own beautiful houses and neglected God's house. He says, now you're doing it backwards. Think about what you're doing. That's why when you work hard and make a lot of money, it evaporates. Because I want you to get up there in the mountains and cut some timber and build my house, rebuild my house. Now look, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. God does not want us to have ripped up, torn carpet. He doesn't want us to have a burgundy roof with the paint peeling off. He doesn't want cracks so big in our parking lot people can fall in them. He wants us to take care of this place. And through you, he is doing it. The heat in our work now. And in a few days, we're going to have LED lights in here. Should be a lot better. Maybe I can see my notes, you know, get better lighting in here. I may be praying I can see better. With the lighting, God says, build my house and do my work first. When we give to his house and to his work first, he'll take care of our house and our work. This is not about tithes and offerings, because this is clearly about building his house, rebuilding his house. God is saying, put my house first. When Moses was receiving an offering for the tabernacle, he said, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. From what you have. Listen, these people were slaves. They had just come out of slavery. And all of us at one point, we were slaves to Satan. And God has brought us out. Just like he brought them out. The Exodus is an example of what it's like to be saved, be born again, to be brought out of sin's slavery, out of Satan's control. We've been redeemed and bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Exodus is an example of what Christ has done, a pre-example, a foreshadowing. You see, where did they get the stuff they gave to God? You ever wondered that? Now I'm going to show you. Now pay attention. This is what the whole thing is about today. Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. He says, when I bring you out of slavery, I'm not going to bring you out empty-handed. A lot of people believe to be saved is a commitment to poverty for the rest of your life. Some monk somewhere came up with that many years ago, and it almost become gospel, but it is not the Word of God at all. And this proves it. God wants to bless his people. Now look, verse 22, But every woman shall ask of her neighbor. Now, ask of the Egyptian neighbors. Ask from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And then Exodus 12:35, he evidently said the same thing to the men. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. The Lord says, go, don't steal it. Go over to the Egyptians and ask for their stuff, and they'll give it to you. And when they left Egypt, the Egyptians were in poverty, and God's people walked out with silver and gold. And we read that all the time, but somehow it just doesn't get in our spirit. We just don't believe it. Verse 36, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they let them have the request. In other words, they gave them their silver, their clothes, anything they asked for, they got. Now look at Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Now you know what that means? We've been reading that and quoting it for decades, and a lot of us don't even know what it means. It means that when God brought them out of slavery, they were blessed financially. You know why? Because God needed to take an offering to build his tabernacle. And when he asked for that offering, he says, give according to what you have. Where did they get what they have? From God. Where did you get what you have? From God. And when he says, I want an offering, how dare we say no? Well, I got everything I got because I'm smart and work hard. Where'd you get your smarts from? Where'd you get your strength? Where'd you get your ability to work hard? Where did you get the wisdom to do things? It came from God. Everything is his. And when he asks for tithes and offerings, he has every right to do so. And not have us making up all these excuses. Well, it's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. You see, he wants to bring you out of Satan's slavery, healthy, well, and blessed, so you can do his work. Poverty is not a blessing. You can't replace these air conditioners if you're in poverty. Does that not make sense? And I can't preach the gospel if I'm laying in intensive care somewhere sick. God wants to bring us out health and well so we can do his work, but we got to realize it's his work, and we have an obligation to do what he tells us to do with what we have. Disobedience can really mess your life up. The Exodus is a type of our redemption from Satan's kingdom. When he brings us out of Satan's slavery, he does not want to bring us out empty-handed. He wants to bring us out healthy and blessed so we can do his work and do what he's called us to do. The Israelites could give to the building fund. When Moses took that offering in the wilderness to build the tabernacle, they could give because God brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Let's stand.